pray over God's word today, okay? Father God, we do come. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We're just so grateful for your word today. The word that never returns void, but accomplishes exactly what you desire in any given time, in any given space throughout all history. It never returns to you void. It's just like the rain that comes, Lord. It has a purpose. And your word has a purpose for us today, every single day. And I ask, Lord, that as we open it, that you'd come and you'd wash us with it and see the purpose of God fulfilled in our reading, in our studying, our receiving, and our believing in the word of God today. I ask, God, what could you do through your word? Your word that rejoices the heart, your word that restores the soul, the word that makes wise the simple. Enlightens the eyes, the word that brings encouragement, life, washing, and sanctifying the sanctifying work of God. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that as we open it, that Father, that it would speak, it would come off the pages and speak to us in this place and in that place. Oh God, come, move amongst your people, Lord. May this word be received, believed. May it be walked out, Lord, in new, fresh ways. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. Hey, we're going to turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. I've mentioned a couple of these words in this passage, especially the hush, be still, and praying in prayers. And now I want to just look at this whole passage of scripture together, and I'm going to read it. And last week's message was called "Unshakable" out of Psalm 46. This sermon is called "Certain." Okay, certain, unshakable, and now certain. Notice verse 35. On that day when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said this to them, Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I want you to notice something about these three words that Jesus speaks to his disciples 2,000 years ago in the boat, and now 2,000 years later in the boat. Notice what he says. After a long day of speaking, large crowds coming. After a long day, Jesus says, when the evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Now I'm going to just say this. If Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side," you can be certain that you're going to get to the other side. That's just a certainty. And this is the promise of God, that God gets us to the other side of wherever we are right now, to the places that we are going right now, right here, and in the future. This is the promise of God of eternal life. When God came and he saved you, he delivered you, you heard the gospel, you heard the good news, and in your sinfulness and in the condition of your heart of being fallen, the condition of original sin, the condition of having no peace and no hope in this world, you heard the good news of Jesus and you responded by faith and you began a journey to the other side. That's just the gospel. It's the good news. And the journey to the other side, is seeing God fulfill his purposes in your life right now, and then one day to live with him forever in heaven. Certain that you'll make it to the other side. Let us go to the other side. Let us go to the places of God's purposes, to the places of eternity. Let me ask you this question. Do you know this today? Do you understand this today? That if Jesus Christ saved you to bring you to the other side of eternity, well, what causes us not to believe that he'll do that in every other situation, in every other circumstance in our life? You know, it's interesting in these days. In home shelter, and just going about the necessities, how quick we can forget what the purpose of God is in our life to get us to the other side. We can forget that. In all the worry and all the fear and of all the things that we're seeing on the news, all the cases that now have been tested and confirmed, by the way, there are many, 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 many more tests that have come out negative, amen. And we need to remember that through circumstances like this, that if God is on his throne and is Lord today over your salvation and over your life, you can be certain that he's going to get you to the other side of his purposes and the other side of eternity. When I think about his purpose, I always move to Romans chapter 8. So if you'll keep your place in Mark chapter 5 and go to Romans chapter 8. Spoke a little bit of this on Wednesday night, but I just want to just give your attention to the purpose of God. I mean, you've got some things happening in your life today that are really, really uncertain. Matter of fact, there is nothing in this life apart from Christ that is certain. Nothing is certain. We're learning that today. We're learning that like we've never learned it before. That nothing in this life is certain. Nothing in this life without Christ is promised. We're entitled to nothing. We're not entitled to another day. We're not entitled to financial security. We're not entitled to those things. Nothing is certain in this life without Christ. But when you're in Christ, his word and everything is certain. And I want you to notice how he works the certainty out, the certain things that he promises to do. I notice verse 26, in the same way the Spirit is helping our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself is interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, the Holy Spirit, is interceding for the saints according to the will of God. What a powerful promise. In all of our praying, in all of our searching, in all of what we're desiring to see God do, in the midst of uncertainty and in the midst of loss or whatever else is going on in your life today, the Holy Spirit of the living God is living in you, interceding for you with groanings too deep for words. And he is searching your heart and he's interceding according to the plan and the will of God for your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your children, your grandchildren, for our community, for this state, for this country and this world. And what's so wonderful about this is that the other side of this is understanding the purposes of God being fulfilled. And that's what the Spirit of God's praying about. And he says, here's your purpose. We know that God is causing all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, that's us. He predestined, that's us, to become conformed into the image of his Son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, destined he called, and whom he called he justified, and these whom he justified he also, watch this, glorified. Let's get to the other side. And the other side is God glorifying himself through you and through me right now in these days, and then for the future of all eternity. This is the purpose, to be like Christ. This is why we look forward to the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Not to rescue us from the evils of this world, but the Bible says that when we see him face to face, we will be like him on the other side. Let's go to the other side of God's purposes. And to know that whatever's happening in your life, and let me just say this, there's a lot happening in your lives, in some of your lives, than coronavirus. There are some of you that are still struggling with other things. Struggling with loss, struggling with trial and difficulty. But I want to just say this. I believe with all my heart, if we get this right, we get it all right. If we get this right, we get it all right. If this is the centerpiece of our lives, God, His glory, and Jesus coming to fulfill His word and His life in us, we get that right and we believe that. Listen, He'll give us the rest that we need to get to the other side, whatever the other side is for you and for me in this life. You can be certain that if Jesus says, let's go to the other side, you're going to get to the other side. You're going to get through whatever you're going through. We're going to get through this as a nation and as a state and as communities. Because Jesus says, let's get to the other side. You know, I think about the purposes of God and how the Spirit of God is interceding. And He says, this is the purpose, to be like Christ, to be like Jesus, to be conformed into His image, to be Jesus to the people around us in our home, and Jesus to everyone else that we come in contact with. But I love what He says. He says, listen, Jesus in verse 34 is at the right hand of God, who is also interceding for us. And then He goes on to say, listen, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Listen, this tribulation, this distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Listen, He says this will never, ever separate you from the love of Christ. Never. In other words, Christ with us. In the boat. And therefore, when He goes on, He says, listen, in all these things, the tribulation, the uncertainty of this life, the loss, the famine, the nakedness, the peril, and even the sword, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us, because there's nothing. He is convinced. He is certain. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's go to the other side. Let's take these days and self-examine our hearts and see where we are. See where we are in our relationship with Christ and our relationship with others. Let us take examination of where we are as a couple in married life. Let's see where we are as family. Let's examine ourselves and to see where we are and where our children are. Let's examine ourselves as a country today and ask the question, God, where have we missed You as a nation? Lord, in these days of separation from loved ones, in these days of just staying at home a bunch, Lord, I just ask for this self-examination. Because I want to tell you, if you're in Christ Jesus, He's going to get you to the other side. And guess what? He's not just going to be hovering over the boat. He's going to be right smack dab in the middle of it. Matter of fact, that's where He is today. We can be certain and convinced that nothing separates us from Him. Therefore, He is always present. Even when we don't think He is. Even when we don't feel like He is. Even though we think we don't see that He is. Our great God is with you right now. He's going to get you to the other side, to fulfill His purposes in this life and in the life to come. Let's talk about the life to come for just a moment. In John chapter 14, you have this wonderful passage of Scripture about heaven and where we're headed. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says in verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. Do you understand that this is something that you and I do by the power of the Spirit of God? Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart fear. Don't let your heart walk in worry, stress, anxiety. Don't let your heart be troubled. Notice, you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many places. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. That's what he's doing right now. For every saint, every believer in Christ, there is a place being designed just for you in eternity in heaven. That's where we're headed, to the other side. You know, some of our loved ones have gone to the other side. Some are experiencing, some people listening to this or right now are experiencing loss. And we pray for one another in this loss. But I tell you this, Jesus is now preparing a place for you and me. And he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you to myself. So watch this, so that where I am, there you may be also. And might I add, not to this scripture, but to the principle of the whole, that where we are, where he is, we will be with him forever. Let's get in the boat and go to the other side. So what happened when you came to Jesus? In this life to become more and more like him, and in the next life, heaven with him, exactly like Jesus. In this place, the Bible says, he will wipe, in Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. Forever, listen to me, forever peace, joy, life, energy, newness. I have in my notes no hunger. Well, I hope we get hungry, because I think I want to eat in heaven, don't you? I don't want to stop eating. Listen, there's no more thirst. There's no more disease. No more virus, sniffles, aches, pains. There's even no more aging and all that comes with that. Certain today. Certain in Christ. And let me ask this, stop this for a moment. Do you have this kind of certainty today? This certainty that you, that Jesus has come into your life, so to speak, into this vessel of clay, this carton, has he come into your life, just like he entered into the boat that day to get to the other side? Do you have this certainty where Jesus Christ has met you, where you have fallen on him, where you were broken because of your sin and sinfulness, and he revealed himself to you? And he shared his love and his life through his crucifixion and his blood spilt 2,000 years ago. Where he came in such a mighty, mighty way then, and he comes mighty in a mighty way now. Do you know this certainty today about your salvation today and your future salvation for eternity? Because if you're in Christ, you can be certain that you're going to get to the other side. Listen, I think about this in not only in our purposes and the other side of eternity, but I think about it in the other, to the other side of the trial and the difficulty. I want you to notice they get into the boat. If you go back to Mark 4, they get into the boat, and there's other boats with them, and all of a sudden there arises a fierce, fierce gale of wind. And the waves are breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. There's a storm, which is very common on the Sea of Galilee. Let me tell you a little bit about the Sea of Galilee. It's not a sea, it's a lake. The Sea of Galilee is 686 feet below sea level, at its level. 686 feet below. It's over 150 feet deep with three stratifications of water. And those three stratifications of water have a lot to do with the surface of the lake at various times of the year. Some of these stratifications have things like algae in it that make it a very, very prolific lake, and always has been. I was reading the other day about the Sea of Galilee and how one fisherman brought in 9,200 pounds of fish. What a fishing day. So it's a very deep lake at sea level. And because of the mountains on each side, for instance, to the north, to the west, there's 1,500 feet of mountains, and then to the northeast, 3,000 feet, which is they call the Golan Heights, if you've ever heard of that. The lake is 13 miles by 8, and it sits in a bowl. And I would tell you that there's nothing like this lake. They say it's one of the most interesting and lakes in the world. And scientists have studied it. And because of the bowl and because of the mountains, how the wind can rush down in a moment and cause a stir, a boiling cauldron, one writer writes. And all of a sudden, that is a fierce wind. Matter of fact, in the Greek language, fierce wind is just a gale. It's like hurricane force wind. That's what they're in today. That's what this story is. They are seasoned fishermen, have probably been on the lake all their lives, and all of a sudden they see this one as one that's going to take their life. And so what they do is they're scared to death, but Jesus, he is asleep in the stern, verse 38. He's on the cushion, he's sleeping as a man exhausted from a long day of preaching and teaching. But as God, let me just tell you, as a man he may be sleeping, but as God he is wide awake. Wide awake. Fiercest storm of their lives. Boats filling up. Frightened that it might take their lives. And they have this thought in their mind because of the storm. They don't have the faith that Jesus already said, let us go to the other side. Because again, I can be certain that if Jesus says, let's go to the other side, we're going to get to the other side. But they have forgotten that word. Like it's so easy for us to do. To forget the word of God. Let's go to the other side. That is the certainty of it. But they forget in the midst of the storm. And I'm saying this because in all the pandemic of this world virus has in many ways become a panic-demic. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And I get caught up in it. We all get caught up in it. That's why we said last week, we need to spend more time with Jesus than with Fox News. Or any other news that you watch. Spend more time with Jesus in this time than anything else in this life. And I think about these men, how they forgot what Jesus said and what they've seen, the miracle working of God. I mean, they know something is different about Jesus this early on in this ministry because they know enough to say, Jesus, we know you're powerful enough, but you're sleeping in the midst of the biggest storm of our lives and you don't care that we're perishing. I want to just tell you this right now, that when you begin to question the goodness and the care of the love and the grace and the mercy of God, you're listening to the lies of the enemy. We serve a God who loves us, who cares for us. I mean, you can just see it over and over and over again. I mean, God loves and he cares for you. Matthew 6:26, he cares for birds and flowers. How much more does he care for you and me? Matthew 9:36, he feels compassion because of the distressed crowd, the crowd that was distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And in John 10:15 says, matter of fact, I lay down my life for the sheep. I can be certain to get to the other side of his purposes and eternity, but also to the other side of the trial and the storm. You know, it's interesting, just like this boat trip across the lake is like our journey in life, because it is filled with storm and it is filled with trial. The Bible says in Acts 14:22 that Paul returned to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, we enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I speak to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world. The Bible says in James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he receives the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We see in Scripture that all things work together. And let me just say this, I know you're seeing it, and I know we're seeing it. I know you're seeing it. I know I'm seeing it. That all these things work together. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, you say, just over the period of last week, as I've gotten online with you or FaceTimed you and your family, or as I've made phone calls, and if you haven't heard from me, you're going to be hearing from me this week. But I'm just so impressed, church, with your faith and your words of encouragement during this time. And you know, I don't really know. There's a lot of you that I just being reminded of this. I'm not speaking this because our church is full of fear, worry, anxiety, and stress. I'm not catching that. And I'm just grateful. But all I know is that in the midst of this, as you give glory to God and as you confess Him as Lord, that you're going to get to the other side, one way or the other. And we're all going to get in it. We're going to all get to it together. That's what I love about Scripture. Because we're in this together. As we talk Sunday and Wednesday night, the city of God, that's who we are, the church, the body of Christ. And this is the promise that we have. We have tribulations. Tribulations will come, but we get to say we serve this great God who overcomes the world. Listen, you can be certain today that He'll get you to the other side of the difficulty. Now, some of you today may be experiencing something very much different in your life. Maybe there's been a loss, a death in the family. Maybe a death of a dream or a vision, a death of a business, uncertainty with financial difficulty that you were even having before this thing. Things that you might be grieving and mourning over. The death of a dad, a death of a child, the death of a grandparent, the death of a spouse. Or maybe there's a diagnosis that's just really dire. But I just want you to know, He's working it all together. And if Jesus says, let's go to the other side, you can be certain that you're going to go and get to the other side. You're going to pass through the trial, persevere with Jesus, and see this work of grace and mercy. From grief to comfort to the restoration of joy. Listen, weeping may last in the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And I'm just praying that for us today. I'm praying this for you who are suffering loss today that has nothing to do with the coronavirus, that is suffering some things that you've been struggling with. Listen, if Jesus said, let's go to the other side, you're going to get to the other side. Because you can be certain of that, and you can be certain that this great God is present. He's aware. He's truly caring for you. You can be certain of His presence, His power, and His peace today. The power of God, the presence of God, and the peace of God. You know, these disciples are questioning the absolute total love and care of their teacher. You know, it's interesting when you look at this account in other places, there's different accounts. They wake him up in one account, like this one's, teacher, do you care that we are perishing? Another account is, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? Another one is, Master, don't you care that we're perishing? And you may say, hey, that doesn't seem consistent. Well, let me just tell you, there's not just one person saying it. And they're saying it in their relationship to God. Teacher, Master, Lord. And He is. He's our teacher, our master, our Lord. This great God who cares for you and for me. And if there's anything that I know, if there's anything the enemy wants to do in your life and my life, is to question the care, the love, and the grace, and the mercy of God. He cares for you. And He cares for you right now, right here, wherever you are, whatever you're going through. And sometimes it's just, instead of trying to blame something or blame it on God or blame it on man or blame it on somebody else, listen, the best thing that you can do is to confess, you're my Lord, you're my Master, and you're my teacher, and you care right now. I also want you to see the assumption. We're perishing. We're going to die. And you don't care. Well, listen, ultimately we're all going to die. And I guess I can go back on my beginning of the message. In this life without Christ, there is at least one certainty. and that is death, unless Jesus tarries and comes for us. That is certain. We're all going to die one way or another. But the thought is in this moment, not yet. Yes, these disciples would die and suffer for Jesus, a martyr's death. And I tell you this right now, he's going to get them to the other side of eternity, the other side of the trial and difficulty. And I notice what he says here. He gets up, he rebukes the wind, and he says to the sea, "Hush, be still." And this wind dies down, and it becomes perfectly calm. Let me tell you, immediately, there's a miracle here. A wind can stop, but it takes a long time for the waves to stop. But I want to tell you that the wind and the waves stop immediately. Hush! Be still! Hush! Be still! And we need this word. We need this word in our heart, because oftentimes there is chaos going on in our hearts. Chaos going on in our minds. And we need to hear Jesus say, "Hush, be still. I care. I love you. I'm right here. I'm right here in the boat with you." And you may think I'm sleeping, and I am as a man because I'm exhausted. But as God, I'm always aware. I'm always present. I don't sleep as God. I don't slumber. And I just praise God for the Jesus that's in your life and in my life that brings a certainty of his presence, power, and peace. The controller and creator of heaven, holding it all, controlling it all. And with one word, he can stand up in your boat and your circumstances and say, "Hush, be still," to the storm in your heart and to the storm that is out there. And it happens here. Yeah, I just be honest with you. I've been praying this for you. I'm praying this for my family. Hush, be still. Hush, be still. In your heart and your mind. And I just want to say this, just as a pastor and just as a believer in Christ, I'm asking God to do this with this virus. Hush, be still. Oh God, oh God, oh God, you're a great God who loves us and cares for us. May we know this. Well, it becomes perfectly calm. And Jesus says to him a third word, "Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" I think that's an indictment of today's society and some in the church. I know I can doubt. I can doubt on a dime, turn on a dime and doubt. We have the propensity for that, this flesh. But I want you to notice what he links fear to. Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? The greatest thing that you can do in the Christian life is believe the promises of God. That's the greatest thing you can do. Trust in our God. And as a result of that trust, you will be obedient. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. And the Word of God was so significant. Let us go over to the other side. And if Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side," you can be certain you're going to get to the other side. Now, I'm going to say this. When they get to the other side in Mark chapter 5, they go to a place of darkness. What do you say? What are you talking about? Well, they go to the Gerasenes. And the first person they meet is the demonized guy. They're going to the other side to penetrate the darkness. In this case, the other side is ministry. In this case, the other side is pouring your heart out for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. In this case, the other side is finding a demonized man with legions of demons that Jesus will heal in a moment, who cast those demons out. And this man given back his life. And I'm going to say this. Jesus is the light of the world, but he says, you are the light of the world. And in this context, the other side is bringing the good news and the gospel to a lost and dying world by our lifestyle and by our words. Friends, beloved, our passage from last week, Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear whatever is thrown at us, because if Jesus says, let's go to the other side, you can be certain you're going to get to the other side. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? What word has God given to you this day that you need to hold on to, that you need to believe? In this time of reflection, Stephen and Jordan are going to play and Jordan's going to sing Psalm 46. And I just want to ask that right now, right here, that you lay down whatever you need to lay down. You need to lay down your fear, lay it down. Your worry, your accusation of Jesus that he doesn't care, lay it down. Your doubt and fear about the other side of things. See, God wants to minister to you in your time of need. Coronavirus or not, wants to minister to your need right now, right here. He is this great and mighty God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Oh, come, behold.